Hey, what's up, guys? My name is Alex. Welcome back to Gray Area. And today we have with us Brax and Falcon, who helped found the blueprint for French Touch in the late 90s as part of Thomas Bangalter's Roulette Well label. And they've now joined forces to revive the disco tinge sounds of the era for a new generation of ravers. Welcome, guys. How are you?
We're good. Thank you. Very good.
All good. All good. So happy to be in the US. It's been a long time. So,
yeah. Actually, a friend of mine went to your show in Miami, I believe, or no, in New York.
Recently,
and said it was absolutely amazing. And he's like a big like blog house like disco guy, and he said it felt like he was reliving his youth. So it's good to hear.
yeah. No, this show turned really, really good for us. We had a lot of pleasure. The crowd were amazing, and all around it was such a good gig for us too.
I love to hear that. And I love to hear that you guys like kind of dug into your back catalog and like dug into like, you know, some of the older hits and stuff. And I kind of want to talk about like that for a second. You guys both had a huge hand in forming like the French Touch sound of the mid to late 90s. Can you talk about how you both discovered dance music and how American house music helped form a foundation for your sound?
Oh, American house music is really a key element. For me, it started, I don't know, probably in the early 90s, buying 12-inch import coming from America. So it's really a key factor. And Stefan?
Yeah, especially the Chicago scene. Guys like Paul Johnson, Sneak, Todd Terry, all those guys, the label like Dance Mania, DJ Dion. I mean, all those. It was a huge influence for us. For me, I discovered I was going to Rev Party in the early 90s. Yeah. I was performing a lot. So it was kind of new in the early 90s, like Rev Party in Paris.
Yeah.
So I was just following all my friends, and this is how I discovered electronic music. I was really close with Pedro from Headbanger.
Yeah.
We were skating all together. So we kind of discover, you know, at the same time all together.
It's so funny you mentioned him, because it seems like a lot of the French artists of that era are somehow linked to each other. It's almost like you guys had a very like close-knit scene. Was the spirit of community kind of part of the success of all of you guys working together?
It's because the scene at the beginning was really small. In fact, it was in Paris and in other cities in France, but mainly in Paris.
Yeah.
It was just a few hundred people really interested in this musical movement. So
we all end up going at the same place.
At the same place.
There was a party called Respect.
Yeah.
And this is where we all kind of connect. It was on every Wednesday, and we kind of all get to know each other through those party.
And having such a small scene at the beginning, it's kind of crazy that France became like the center of, you know, kind of this disco sound, but also later on, just like France is now like kind of a center of dance music. How does it feel to have been like a part of founding that?
Disco music was really strong in France during the 70s and the 80s. So
yeah.
There is a big background with dance music in France. But I mean, globally, if we want to make it simple, let's say that when Daft Punk released Homework,
right,
it really pushed the new version of disco one step really up, in fact. So I mean, Daft Punk is a key factor as well in this whole story.
Of course. And you guys both worked with Daft Punk, but I also want to talk about Alan. You were half of Stardust, who produced one of the biggest dance music songs of all time. Can you talk about like producing such a pivotal piece of dance music history?
It's retrospectively, it's quite interesting the way it's been produced, because it's it was mainly hardware equipment. The computer was not a key element in the process, so it's based on sampling and old, quite old techniques. So it took 1 week to write and produce a song. Benjamin Diamond, the singer, was also, of course, involved in the process.
Yeah,
and so I mean, it's a song which is based on a sample. So right. Was mainly using the sample and upgrading it with louder drums and a newer production. And it's been quite a natural process. We, at one point, we were a bit lost in the song because there was much more lyrics, and we couldn't find the right arrangement. And once we decided to get rid of some of the lyrics, everything was okay suddenly. So that's it. It was a Sunday. We pressed record, and that's it.
Are those? Is that original version with all the lyrics still floating around somewhere?
No. It doesn't. No. It doesn't exist.
I have a good memory, because I witnessed when they played this for the first time.
Yeah.
Alain was doing a live show in the Rex Club in Paris.
Yeah.
Which is one of the cult club there.
Right.
And it was your first live or?
My first.
Yeah. So and so they play it at the Rex Club for the first time. So I was helping Thomas to carry a huge heavy synth to play the chords.
So it was
special when they did play for the first time at the Rex Club. Everybody knew there was something going on, like really cool vibe in the club at the moment.
Wow, that's so cool to have been there, like one of the first times that song was played. Stefan, I want to talk about your career as well. You collaborated with Thomas Bangalter in the early days, and then you did a bunch of work, and then you kind of stepped back from production for a really long time. Why did you step back, and what brought you back to working on music?
It's, for me, it kind of came as an accident. You know, I'd like to see myself maybe as a tourist a little bit, you know. So I released my first music on Roulet with Hello, My Name is DJ Falcon. Right. Then with Thomas, we did two tracks together and So Much Love to Give.
Right.
And then I did a couple of remixes. I did stuff for Phoenix, for right. Justice, Cassius. And but I was more into the DJ side. I was more, I was lucky and fortunate to travel the world for the last 20 years. Yeah. I'm also a lot into photography.
Oh.
So I was just traveling as much as I can. I really enjoyed this aspect. So I was just taking stuff day by day and enjoy more the DJ aspect of and the nice. Traveling. Right.
Yeah. Nice. And it's funny too, because the two of you are cousins, you're related, but uh-huh. You didn't actually know that either one of you was working on music in the same space until after you had already started releasing music. How did you guys find out about each other, and how does that play into like you guys coming back together to work on music again now?
We found out, I mean, it's a funny story, because it's a bit Thomas Bangalter who helped us to find out that we were interested by the same music, in fact. So, because I released my first record, Vertigo, on Roulet.
Right.
Then Stefan noticed that this record was existing, and suddenly we realized that we were friends with Thomas. So it's a bit like Thomas did put us in touch again afterward.
Yeah.
And so it's a funny story. And then it took us quite some time to decide to make music together. We started in 2014. We spent a few months in the studio working on demos. And then we reopened the demos like 2 years ago, and we decided, okay, now let's try to finish this for real.
Why now? What's different about now?
We played this demo to Peter Berra from Domino Records in America, right. And he said, okay, you guys should finish this and release it as an EP. So he gave us the motivation to finish this.
Beautiful.
Maybe we needed a little bit, people like really supportive on our back, but also the fact that when we first been in the studio, we were really we never really had a plan, so we were just curious to spend time in the studio together,
yeah,
and to see what happened. And we quickly find out that we were not playing the four to the floor type of track, the typical club stuff. So, which was cool somehow, but maybe at the time we didn't know how to release this. We knew we were somehow into some kind of transition to something different.
Yeah.
And also at the time I was featuring on the Daft Punk album. So it went crazy for me, like touring like crazy.
Yeah.
So we couldn't really find the right moment. And yeah, like he said, I think Peter played a big role into this, because he was really pushing us to go back in the studio and finish this. And we're more than happy with the result, and we're really thankful to Domino Records for the help.
That's so awesome. It's so awesome that you guys got to start doing this together again. And I want to kind of talk about the EP too, because it's kind of wide ranging. It still sounds like both of you, but it also, tempos are kind of all over the place. There's a lot of feeling in it. Where do you guys see yourself taking this in a live aspect? Because I know that when you guys play live now, you're also playing a lot of the old stuff and with the mix of the new stuff. So where do you see this like progressing?
For now, we are playing when we are going on stage, we just play as DJs. So yeah. We play some of our music and music from other artists.
Right.
At one point, maybe we need to do a proper live. But it requires a lot of work and lot of so we need to record an album first. This is a priority, and when this is done, we will think about a proper live act. But so for now, we keep on DJing like we did before.
It must be fun to be DJing together, like for a whole new generation of people that are just starting to rediscover all of this music that you guys had a hand in putting out.
You mean DJing together is super.
Yeah.
It's really cool. So especially because we started playing together in June in Europe, and at the beginning we were playing 30 minutes each and 30 minutes together. And now we changed the formula and we are playing two tracks each.
Yes.
So it's quite funny, in fact. So
the good thing,
dynamic.
We kind of since the beginning we're kind of sharing the same taste, and it's really fun. It's a lot of fun. Yeah,
it's good fun. There is a lot of improvisation, and it's good fun.
But we needed that. Improvisation. Sometimes we do mistake. We do prefer. We accept this. The kind of natural. So it's kind of the way we process a little bit. Just to go with the flow. Even in the studio, we just need to, I don't know, be sincere somehow, or to just be in the studio, spend good time, and see what happened. So it's actually all we kind of doing things at the moment.
I love this idea that you're not going into things without any huge expectations. You're just going in to create. and to see what happens. It must be really freeing to work that way, to be like, hey, let's just see what happens today and go for it.
The lockdown during the pandemic helped us to think this way. I mean, it helped us to shift from a state of mind where we were like, it has to work, blah, 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 to a state of mind, which is now, let's do it, see what happens, and that's it. So it's very simple for us now.
I love that. I want to talk about Daft Punk clearly had a huge impact on dance music, and you both. How were you touched by the announcements of their split last year?
So first of all, I didn't know about it. I kind of learned like everybody. Yeah, I guess this sometimes a bit mysterious, and they of course I had a huge conversation and the funny thing I was driving. I was not home. I live now in southwest of France.
Yeah.
And Thomas was in my town when so when I came back, we spent 2-3 days together and we had a big chat about it. But it's funny also because I guess I was like everybody. It was kind of the end of an era, and us, we've been that close that we were in, you know, in the same so we were sharing a lot of stuff with them. So it felt like, but for me, it also makes sense. Like they were they did 27 years together. When you think about all their album they released, it makes so much sense. Like at the last album, they were collaborating with the people with their own influence. Yeah. And people they were sampling from, you know, Nile Rodgers right. and everything. So if you look at it, it's just perfect the way it is. It's why keep on, you know, and knowing them personally, they're so curious and they always want to be in, to escape some of their comfort zone, you know. To try something different. Thomas just did recently the music for an opera in France. Right. So it's what's so cool about them. They keep on learning. They keep on trying to be in a position where they discover thing. Because when you think of it, it's tough for an artist to still get excited and try to be honest and sincere for the love of it, you know, to put yourself in a position when you're still enjoying, having fun, learning stuff. Yeah. So all around, I think it's super honest and it's really respectful. They could have keep on going and now that it's Daft Punk, you know, just releasing more and more albums. So it's kind of a gambling a little bit. And it's courageous. But of course I was a bit sad, of course.
Because like everybody else.
It's, yeah, like everybody. And then you start to realize, you know, all the impact that it was. I mean, for me, they have a huge impact on my personal life.
Yeah.
So of course it was that was something. Yeah.
Lovely. That being said, and now that you guys are working together and you guys are kind of coming full circle in your career, what are you most excited about for the future of the project?
Keep on making music, which it sounds. Which is not, it's not always easy. So just keep on doing the music we like without any preconceived ideas or whatever. Just keeping our mind free and just do it. Simple, but it's gonna require a lot of work. I mean, it's a good time for music. It's completely opened since the pandemic. I feel like, yeah. There is a lot of freedom, so it's a good timing to experiment and
to explore
explore as much as we can.
Yeah, and also we it feel good to be support with a team, and we never really did this, you know. Alan was always doing music on his own label, Vulture, which
right.
I guess it was also a lot of work. So it feel good to be surrounded by good people who support. So we never really experiment this.
Yeah,
it's also new, a little bit new for us. And it's good. Everything is new. It's exciting, and so I think we're in a good position to deliver some hope, some good music.
I love to hear that, and especially with the way dance music is going right now, because there's so much space to experiment. People are open and ready to hear anything, and it feels like we're kind of experiencing a revival of what was happening in the mid to late 90s. So it's kind of the perfect time for you guys to come around. And it's so beautiful to hear that you guys have a team that's there to support you, because that means you guys can concentrate on what's important, and that's making great music.
Yeah, this is, as Stefan said, this is sort of the first time that we have a team behind us. Before, it was all do-it-yourself. And so it's good to be supported by your label, and it helps us to focus on music. And so it's cool. It's a good timing.
But also, what you said, we kind of noticed this. There's a kind of revival.
Yeah.
So we try not to fall into this trap, because we don't want to repeat ourselves. We don't want to do it again. You know, we still need to be in a position that we're satisfied with what we're doing, and we kind of exploring different territories. We need that. We don't want to just
repeat,
you know, do it again and take this as an opportunity to, you know. So I guess we like a little bit of danger, but
it's good to take risks. It's
it's
a good thing. It's a good thing to take risks, and you're in a position now where you can do that with, you know, and see how it goes.
But you know what, you said it at the beginning, and I think it's one of the best compliments that we can have, that the EP we just released is going all over the place, the tempo, but people can still recognize the sound, and it's from us.
Yeah.
So it's probably the best compliment we can have. So thank you for that.
No, absolutely. No, because I love it, and I'm glad that it's being well received. I always like to wrap things up by asking, and this is kind of a similar question, but not really, but what excites you about the future of dance music?
Dance music. For me, dance music is club music.
Mm-hmm.
So... future of dance music is it's a tough question.
You said it's kind of going, there's a lot more direction, and I feel like somehow at this time it's a bit more interesting, because people are not trying to reproduce a big hit. There's a lot more open mind. I mean, it's cool. Last time Alan played a Panda Bear song in the club, and it was really, people really enjoy it. You feel like you could play whatever you want. I guess it was a bit the case before, because I was always doing this.
Right.
But I think more and more people are okay with that thing. So it could go in every direction, and we don't know, and that's the exciting part, I guess.
Yeah, I love
nobody
to hear
know
that.
Where the whole thing's gonna go. So good, it's a good thing.
Yeah, no, it's fun to not know that there's no trends happening,
or
that there's no trend coming up, and you can't see that. It's kind of nice to know that we could wake up tomorrow when something brand new could be coming out, or some old sound could get rehashed, and people could love that too.
Yeah.
Exactly. Well, I'd like to thank you guys so much for taking the time out to speak to us today. This has been really fun, and I, you know, your music has like hugely inspired me. in my long dance music journey. So it's been wonderful to speak to you both. Thank you so much.
Thank you. Thank you for your time.
Thank you
absolutely.
So much.
Absolutely. And I will be in touch very soon. Thank you.
Okay, okay. Wonderful.
All right.
Thank
bye.
You. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.